Good afternoon, Chairman. Stephen Mayne, small shareholder. Look, I'd like to speak against this proposal today on a couple of grounds. The first is price. But what we have here is Alcan shares are trading at about $50 in March, and now we've bought the thing for $101 a share or thereabouts. We've paid a massive premium. Since the takeover was announced in early July, our share price has risen by roughly 5%, and the BHP share price is up by about 30%. And if we hadn't proposed this deal, I think it's fair to say that rather than our shares being at $108, they'd probably be closer to $130. So I think if you just look at those bare metrics, we've paid over the odds, and we've lost shareholder value as a result. And, I mean, this is the biggest cash takeover in history. Your debt is going to be bigger than the Australian government's debt after this. I mean, the Australian government only owns $50 billion. We're going to be up above that, one of the biggest debt piles in the corporate world anywhere. So we've raised the risk profile of the business, and we've gone long into aluminium, which is the most energy-intensive metal in the world. So we've got this massive debate about global warming, and we've decided to bet the bank on the most energy-intensive metal of all, where up to 40% of the cost is electricity. So I just find the commercial rationale bizarre, and I think, you know, we've seen other Australian companies like BHP blow $3.2 billion on Magma Copper in the mid-90s. We're spending, what, 15 times that, and we've seen the relative share price underperformance since then. So I think you've made a major commercial blunder in doing this, and I think all of us in this room should consider this very seriously and send a message that we think it's commercially reckless. The other reason why I've got concerns with this deal is the whole nature of Rio Tinto and its relationship with Australia. And when the original DLC was proposed in December 1995, the Keating government actually decided it should be one of the terms of the agreement that you have one third of the directors being Australian. And that you proposed at the time that the entire eastern hemisphere of the global operation would be run out of Melbourne. Now we have a situation where we're down to only 3 out of 13 directors are Australian residents, and we're putting another 3 Canadians on the board, so we're going to be down to just 3 out of 16. And if you go back 10 years, 6 of our 8 top management team were Australians. Now we're down to only 2 out of the top 9 are Australians. We're going into a situation where you're about to have wall-to-wall Labor governments in Australia. We've seen the global phenomenon of resource nationalism, where even the British government have been jacking up taxes in the North Sea. You've seen the Russians. Everyone, governments the world over, are trying to patriotically claw back value from their resources. And here's Rio Tinto sitting in London with $100 billion of Australian assets, doing sops to the Canadian government with special panels and advisory teams and extra 3 Canadian directors, and seemingly giving nothing back to Australia. And I think you're actually running a politically risky strategy in not doffing your cap to Australia a bit more, both with broad representation and just the basic case of where your head office is. I mean, I cannot see why your head office should be in London. And I really think that with $100 billion worth of assets here, you should be an Australian headquartered company with a large division in Canada and an international board. And I just flag it as a risk that I think you're taking in not showing appropriate respect for the fact that you are making such a fortune out of the natural resources of this country and doing it from your London headquarters. So I'm voting against, and I hope a few other shareholders will also send a message to the board. Thank you.
Mr. Mayne, for those comments, and I note your intention to vote against the resolution. It's disappointing, and we'll have to see how that compares with the view of our total shareholder base when we declare the results this afternoon. I don't want to repeat all that I said in response to Mr. Seddon's question about the economics of this deal, which we think are sound, and that it will prove to be value creating. This is a very long time horizon business. Playing numbers over a period of 2 to 3 months is not what the resources industry is about. Time will tell, but we are confident that we've got a value-creating proposition. We will be taking on a significant level of debt. Our intention is to reduce that as quickly as we can to levels that are comfortably manageable. You also made reference to aluminium being an energy-intensive business, which it certainly is. But one of the things I just point out to you, which attracted the Alcan opportunity to us, was the great strength of hydropower generation that they have, particularly in Canada, which makes them, I think, amongst the world's aluminium producers, one of those which has a proportionately higher position, stronger position in green energy than others. So we may debate this for some time, but I can tell you that the board is confident about the actions that have been taken. Your second question, it really relates to the structure of the company. And I think the first thing I'd like to say in response to that is that as a company, as a board of directors, we are deeply respectful to our position in Australia and the stewardship of Australian resources that falls to us. We have actually, since the DLC was put into place in 1995, invested billions and billions of dollars in the thoughtful and careful development of Australia's resources. It's certainly in excess of 10 billion. I don't have a figure on the tip of my tongue today. In doing so, we have created employment, we have created export revenue, and we have created huge value for Australia, which I can just speak from the contacts that I have regularly, as do others of us, with Australian political leaders of all complexions. This is something that is respected as a contribution to Australia, and we hold our heads quite high when it comes to that. You also raise some statistical points about numbers of directors. You did say three Australian resident directors. We actually have four Australian directors. Richard Goodmanson, who is an Australian, is not actually resident, but I can tell you, represents a very Australian point of view when required in our board discussions. And you talked about three Canadians. Again, if I can just make a small statistical correction, we will be welcoming two Canadians to our board and one American. Dick Evans is an American citizen. But you would expect, I think, in a situation where we're making a large acquisition in territory which is not unfamiliar to us, we already have Canadian businesses, that we should seek to bring onto our board representation from that company to ensure that there's continuity. So I think we are keeping faith with the original undertakings and understandings of the DLC discussions of 1995. I think the DLC, as far as it concerns Rio Tinto, has worked out very, very well indeed for Australia.